You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
On Earth, nothing was working out, and I wanted to get the hell out of there.
You're applying to be an expendable?
You read through the paperwork?
Yeah. I should have read through it.
That's it. Mickey, deep breaths. Fill your lungs. Imagine there's an unknown virus in the air.
And you're sucking in every single microscopic particle floating around.
All the viruses.
So good.
There really was an unknown virus in the air. A lethal one.
See you tomorrow.
Fellow pioneers, almost every single one of you will be remembered throughout history.
They made me work my ass off, giving me one shitty mission after another.
You're an expendable. You're here to be expended.
Every time I died, they just printed me out again. Everyone asks, what's it feel like to die? The ship was filled with mostly dickheads. But Nasha, she's always loved me. That's when everything changed. Multiple.
In the case of multiples, we exterminate every individual.
Which body goes first? One at a time is twice the fun.
You don't look like you're printed out. You're just a person.
It's not your fault.
This is a fight to the death.
The simple fact is, we're in a state of war. And our survival is in the balance.
I got a job to do.
Mickey Barnes. Fighting right to the end.
My great gift to mankind.
Are you afraid to die?
This time I wasn't scared.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion 25.
What number are you?
Pick a random one. There you go.
Straight out of here.
I'm going to be Dion 25, and you all introduce yourselves tonight because I'm lazy.
Oh, wow.
So there we go. Yep. Oh, there,
go
great.
On, Jill. What number are you?
Me? I'm Jill 41 because I die a little each year.
It is kind of dark. Okay, Quinny, what number are you up to?
-3.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand it. Nobody does.
That means there's like three multiple. Peter, how many are you?
I mean, based on Jill's logic, I think I'm about 99.
Oh. Jill 99. Jesus, damn. Peter 99, again, Jill 41, Dion 25, and Quinny -3 to be a dick.
No, just because that's where I'm from. I'm from Liaweenie, and it's always -3 in Liaweenie. There's a Tasmanian gag for you anyway.
You're not from Liaweenie,
Quinny. No, I'm not, but it's still, there's three Tasmanians who listened to this who thought that was very funny.
It is about a cold, merciless planet full of weird creatures. Kind of like.
Spoiler alert, our numbers are our scores for later.
Oh, wow. Serious thinking now.
Oh, how hateful. What are we doing tonight? Someone explain to me. What's this movie that we're talking about?
You're so fun. You're my man. Hey, Mickey.
And it's
you're going to do that 17 times now because that'll take a while.
I'm just warning you, there will be a lot. It's a very Tony Basil heavy show tonight.
Yeah. You're not getting away from that song.
No.
So it's a docu-biopic about the making of the video clip for Hey Mickey.
Oh my God. There's going to be so much digging in this. It's going to be so full of meaning. No. We are talking the new Bong Joon-ho film, Mickey 17, which is based on a book which is called Mickey 7. Why there's an extra 10 in the film, I don't really know.
Because they gave them
snappier. Who knows?
Yeah, it gave them more opportunity to come up with interesting and disgusting deaths for their lead character, Robert Pater Mickey.
I mean, my best joke was that. Much better than that.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I am Dion 25. The comedy gets worse every high as high.
Law of diminishing returns has really come down hard on you.
Yes, yes, it has.
That's why I'm -3 because I'm still mint.
They keep forgetting to upload the memories back to Dion when he gets reprinted, so he keeps doing the same analogies over and over again.
Yeah, and they've just filled it in with AI garbage.
That's what it is. That's something I really liked about this is the idea that, like, yeah, there are at least two or three versions where they've reprinted Mickey and they haven't perhaps printed him right. Like, you know, they've accidentally knocked out a cable on one of the printings. Like, maybe he's not exactly the same as the Mickey that started.
We'll get there. I mean, you know, we've still got a lot of things to do. We're doing Mickey 17, which we got to go and see, was it last week? Well, it came out last week.
Well, you did. And Peter and I went and saw it on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Nice and fresh.
Technically, you know, but I start my week on a Monday, so... You know.
Okay.
so we all.
But it came out. Yeah, we've all seen it
last week.
Yeah. The important part is the homework was done. We all did the homework.
Yes.
We've all watched it. It's out. You can go and see it too.
Yes. And what a strange little film it is. I'm fascinated to know, where are you all at with Bong Joon-ho?
Hated Snowpiercer. Loved Parasite. Didn't watch Okja because animals.
Yeah,
slaughtering animals. Like,
did you watch Parasite in between seeing Mickey 17 and now?
I maybe watched it last night.
Good, because
I hadn't done it, and for some weird reason, I thought it was based on a horror manga, but it's completely not.
No,
there's a horror manga called Parasite, and I thought that's what the movie was about. And the poster has like everyone with redacted eyes. I thought it was like some weird horror film, but
sure. I mean,
it's not.
No,
I'm just glad because like when Jill and I went and saw it last week, it's like, oh, I haven't seen Parasite, and I was like, what? Yeah. Get thee to a nunnery.
Shit, sorry, I haven't seen Parasite either.
Oh, well, it's on Netflix, Quinny. You should have watched it last night.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, sorry. But
Quinny, you haven't even seen The Sound of Music.
Before you asked that question.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
-3.
Okay. Do you want to get all, like, cool with Bong Joon-ho? Because I've been watching him since 2003.
Okay, what was your first movie?
Memories of Murder that came out in 2003. And it was, I think one of his first films, one of his first big successful films, sorry. First film that I can see is Barking Dogs Never Bite, which I've never seen. But, yeah, we've done a pretty good line on Director Bong. We've watched, so back in before the times, back before the Periodic Table of Awesome, there was another podcast called Cool Shite on the Tube. And as a part of that, one of the people really loved Korean film. And so we've watched surprisingly a lot more Bong Joon-ho than I ever thought I was going to.
There you go.
So, we've watched Memories of Murder and Mother and The Host. And then, a few years later, he kind of... we didn't see that much from him for a while, and then Okja and Snowpiercer and all that sort of stuff came out. So, yes, I've watched a lot of Bong Joon-ho. I like his stuff.
So you're an aficionado then, Quinny?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Peter, have you seen many Bong Joon-ho films?
I mean, Parasite. Maybe Snowpiercer, and then I erase it from my memory. I'm not sure.
Sure. Yeah, don't get confused. It's not the Netflix television show.
I'm neutral. I'm neutral on the issue.
Neutral,
right? You really hated Snowpiercer, Jill?
Yeah, look, it's been so long since I watched it. I don't remember why I hated it, but it just didn't work for me.
Is that because Chris Evans wasn't doing good things in that film?
I think he was fine in the movie. I don't think I didn't enjoy the premise.
Right. Not enough Dorito shots in that film for Chris Evans. True.
Don't reduce me to my base level, Dion.
Lizard brain Jill.
It was the silent green of it all, okay?
Right, right. Yeah. Fair enough. It was actually supposed to be more horrific. Do you remember that scene in Snowpiercer? And it's been out for a while, so I'm going to say it anyway. Remember when they opened it up and it was just bugs being all crushed up? It was actually supposed to be the people in, from the back of the carriage.
Oh, yeah, no, I assumed that, yeah.
Yeah. But it was like, I always figured that was kind of where they were going with that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was, I'm pretty sure there was a line in it where he talked about eating babies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah.
Look, Peter later.
Peter has erased it for a very particular reason.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think maybe I just haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. You don't eat train, much. Lots of snow.
They don't actually eat a baby on screen. They just talked about it as a trauma memory. Don't worry. Look, it's fine.
Yeah. There are a weird amount of films that actually take place on trains. So, like, I genuinely can't remember if it's one of the ones I've seen.
There's also the confusion that there's a series that ran for however many seasons of Snowpiercer.
It's still going.
It's got two.
Is it still fucking going?
I think it's still going.
It got cancelled after two.
Really? I thought it was like on series five. I don't know.
I think it got cancelled and then got re-picked up.
Oh.
And I'm just now looking it up.
Yeah.
Because like I watched a little bit of it mostly because I really liked David Diggs. I think he's a fucking great actor. But... yeah, didn't get into the show as much, even though it has Jennifer Connelly in it, and I'm all about her. There's four seasons. Yeah,
God yeah, that's damn. What I was talking about. I was like, it's gonna...
I didn't realize it kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last season just came out last year.
There you go.
Like anyway, that's we're not talking about Snowpiercer. We're talking about Mickey 17. And
that's true.
Apart from that, I haven't like here's a little thing. I've watched maybe 10 minutes of Okja. I just didn't get around to it. And I've seen Parasite, and I saw The Host, which I thought was great, and I totally do not remember seeing Mother or the other one you were talking about.
Memories of Murder.
Memories of Murder.
Was Mother the Sandra Oh one?
Ooh.
No, it wasn't the other one by, what's his name? Aronofsky.
Oh, no, not you're thinking of
not Mother. Not the Rose Byrne one.
Yeah, Mother with an exclamation mark as opposed to just Mother.
Oh, that's the Jennifer Lawrence one.
Yeah.
No, not that one. Wasn't there a Sandra Oh movie about a mother?
We're getting very distracted. We need to be talking about Mickey.
Off topic.
Yeah. Let's talk about Mickey 17. Anyway. First of all, yes. We need to go all the way back to talk about Robert Pattinson in Twilight. Now, Twilight was a series.
Look, I have...
We're going to go all the way back.
I have in retrospect an argument that Robert Pattinson was doing genius acting in Twilight because there was a book that was not released at the time that was given to him that was called Midnight Sun. And it's all of Twilight from Edward's perspective where he is like a sociopath. And so I feel like he was playing Twilight Edward as from the perspective of this book and we just didn't know it.
Well, much like large franchise lead male casts who get the role too early and then somewhat become pigeonholed, Robert Pattinson is giving the full Daniel Radcliffe by having a go at just weird shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, there is like my love of Robert Pattinson being weird is really only slightly secondary to my love of Daniel Radcliffe being weird. So I'm always there for a ride.
Pattinson hasn't done like as much stripping and as much weird dancing as Radcliffe. Like
yeah.
Radcliffe,
he also hasn't played a dead body that moves around in the ocean with his flatulence.
True, that is true. He has played Batman, which many would say is similar.
Yeah.
I also feel like he lets the weird leak into his real life a lot more than Daniel does. Significantly more than Daniel does. That's fine.
I do love
that. An interesting interview.
They both came out of Harry Potter land.
Yeah.
You know, both managed to escape the Goblet of Fire.
Cedric Diggory.
Well,
did he though?
Not so much.
I was referring to the franchise.
You don't remember that? One was in seven films and one was in one.
Yes.
And then there was that thing, the father of that character going, "My boy, they've killed my boy." Quinny, do you remember this at all?
I do, yes. Yes, I was referring to the Goblet of Fire as the franchise. As
oh, in, okay. The Harry, right. Not the
you
actual
know, the Harry Potter franchise, which is now a bit of a Goblet of Fire, a bit of a poison chalice, you know.
Oh.
You know, I was being literary.
Don't worry, they're remaking it, so it all blow over.
It was
over.
The only character for which that wouldn't have worked.
I'm trying so hard.
I know you are. What is Mickey 17 about, though?
Well, yeah. Okay. So here's the flawless thing,
right? Segue into that synopsis.
That's beautiful. What accent do you want? Because there's whatever the fuck Mickey 17's accent
is. Well, our Pats was doing a Pittsburghian accent, apparently. So yeah.
Jill's on the inside for that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Did you want some background music there, Quinny, while you think about your accent?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Sure. Shit
accent time.
Yeah. As a famous song from Pittsburgh. This is the one that I'm going to be playing for everyone.
It's going to be weird generic American with his weird fucking voice. That's all I've gotten. I'm sorry.
Nah. Well, adapted from the novel Mickey 7 by Edward Ashton, this Robert Pattinson stars as an expendable, disposable crew member on a space mission. And he's selected for dangerous tasks because he can be renewed or reprinted or whatever if his body dies, with his memories largely intact. With one regeneration, though, things do go very wrong. And I meet number 18, who's a dick. And turns out that things are not as smooth as all that.
Wow, that was uncanny.
That's actually not bad.
Well, we heard a lot of him in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Thanks. I will take the compliment of it being either uncanny or not bad.
We have like an entire emote for shit accent.
Yeah.
Actually, not bad is quite confident.
Yeah, Freda Kanga busted out like three shit accents and then just kind of went, oh, I think that's all we know. This is actually not bad. Like, I feel like I've seen this. This is good.
Not expecting.
Yeah.
When I first saw the trailer for this, my first thought in like, what in the uncanny valley is this? Why does this look like the Robert Pattinson we got on Wish? Like,
this is not the real Robert Pattinson.
You know, there's a bunch
I've
of.
I've been on the trailer going, is that Robert Pattinson or just somebody who looks like him? What is going on? I don't know what they did with his hair, makeup, costuming to make him look just that little bit extra odd.
They really played up the broken
with
nose.
The echo it. I've now also got playing, so I'm really lifting the audio game here.
We can't hear the plane. It's fine. We can only hear you.
Yeah.
I noticed for the first time more than ever, like his nose and like he looked like he had quite a significant broken nose a few times, and I was like, he definitely didn't look as pretty as he has.
Well, you know. I thought he looked great. Like, I saw the trailer when it came out and I had a lot of like pep and zing and energy and it was a new thing. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then I saw the film and I'm like, that trailer lied to me a little bit. It did not lie to me as much as the trailer for Drive, which was not the exciting film that everyone thought it was going to be. But this one was kind of like, oh, that looks like fun. Like, you know, kind of going, this is not... Well, it's kind of a fun film, but it's more of a...
There are lots of fun elements to the film.
Yeah,
sure, but it's not a fun film.
It's fun to be had.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I think it's a comedy.
Fun. I thought it was fun all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot.
Oh, that's good. I mean, this is good. I also want to say, like, I enjoyed Mickey 17 from a perspective of Robert Pattinson's physical comedy that I was not expecting because... That was the most unexpected and pleasant thing that came out, you know, because we've seen him do, you know, his brooding teenage heartthrob years and now his action man, Batman years. And now it's like, oh my God, he's a very good physical comedian. because he fully commits to the bit. And I was like, this is amazing. And is this all?
But even as I wouldn't call him Action Man for Batman. He's more emoty bat, really.
Are you kidding me? I think he beat people up. I didn't know because it was very dark and I couldn't see anything actually happening. So, and his face was never really there. But I believe that he was beating people up instead of giving his money to programs that could prevent wealth inequality anyway.
I agree. The physical comedy was great. Quinny and I both laughed, but we were the only people in the cinema laughing at several points.
That worried me. That really concerned me.
Were you the only people in the cinema at all?
No, there were quite a few times, especially when he's being printed.
Yeah,
every time he got printed, I laughed.
Oh yeah, I was laughing too. Especially
there's a great gag because like the old days, the old inkjets would go ching ching ching, and then
none of the other people in the cinema had seen an inkjet printer.
No. Oh no, you just realised that we were
probably the oldest people there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody else had ever seen a printer go.
They didn't get the gag.
It's like they're seeing them. It's like people seeing old films of someone's using a typewriter, and then like, why are they hitting it?
Just slapping some sense.
It's like, oh, I like that film. That was great. Except, why do they keep hitting the like keyboard? And I'm like, I can't explain this to you.
Yeah, look, I found it very funny. Like, I think it's got a really weird sense of humor. Like, you know, and the sense of humor is, Greta Kang has just picked up on the whole printer gag now. the humor is dark, but also, like, kind of borderline absurdist in a lot of cases. And it's actors, in a lot of cases, having a lot of fun. Plan things real big.
Yeah.
But I liked it. Like the comedy. There's other parts about the film I didn't get into, but the comedy I did find work.
I mean, no, I love some absurd shit. Like.
And it had a lot of different kinds of comedy that was thrown in there. Because I mean, I really think there was that little bit of that absurdist comedy that you're getting from Robert Pattinson, and then you had like the very scenery eating comedy being thrown out there by Mark Ruffalo. I feel like Toni Collette was almost criminally underused.
Toni Collette. What are you doing?
She's a very funny woman.
I think there'll be an Oscar nomination for Mark Ruffalo's veneers next year.
Yes, yeah. Yes, 100%.
Well, doing a lot of acting.
The fact that Toni Collette was playing the straightest role in the whole thing was absolutely criminal. I found Mark Ruffalo's entirely unabashed Trump impersonation to be kind of hilarious in this context. I'm like, you know what? He's not hiding what he's doing. It's like, right, and I don't care. There are kind of some things that happen in there where I'm kind of like, you really kind of like hit the jackpot when you shot this in terms of how relevant it has now become.
I was just hoping for some sort of Elon Musk metaphor character to be in there. Then it would have just been perfectly like, the person in control of the ship on the mission that goes to start a new planet. Who's a weird tech pro would have been just icing on the cake. But they didn't know. They weren't soothsayers.
No, and they got the religious creepy guy who was, you know, always doing the filming, who, you know, probably a little J.D. Vance, but, you know.
I mean.
You can find parallels where you go looking for them, but in the end, like, it's the idea of a terrible dictator who, in this case, has actually done the world a favor by taking a whole bunch of people off the planet.
A bunch of religious fundamentalists who decided to follow the cult of personality into space to seed life on a new land, which is because Earth is fucked because no one's been bothered to do anything about trying to save it, so everyone's just leaving it. And then experiencing that whole ideology of humanity running against alien life, which may not look similar to us but has its own complex narrative, and then being able to use that as a justification for cultural and societal change because people are getting trodden on. That's a lot of words.
I do want to shout out to Elska Norga, who said that it's the B arc. So referencing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they just put all of the telephone sanitizers and hairdressers and stuff onto the B arc and sent them off into space first and said, we'll catch up with you.
Okay, now for anyone younger than us watching this right now or listening to it, a phone sanitizer was someone who used to go around and clean handsets on public phone booths and common use phones because that was necessary because people would put shit all over it. But you would have to do that.
Okay, so for anyone younger than us that's watching this, a public phone booth.
You didn't always have a phone in your pocket. Sometimes there was one that you had to walk to. Yeah.
There was nothing subtle about what this film was saying. And, you know, that sometimes I'm going to get shitty about that. Sometimes I'm like, fair call. It's absurd. It's comedic. It is saying what it's saying. The unsubtlety is part of the comedy in this case. So I was okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also, like, did anyone else feel like the 137-minute runtime probably could have been a real tight 80-minute?
Oh, we have reached my complaints.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I love that at least three of us are like, and now we hear the bit we wanted to talk about.
I don't remember it feeling that long. I was just so, I was enjoying, like, every moment of the movie. The satire was hitting for me. I thought everything was really funny. I thought Robert Pattinson was doing an amazing job. I liked all of the side characters. Everyone had like great little character traits and personalities.
I really like Robert Pattinson.
And character arcs.
Like, I really like Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. Fine. Don't put words into my mouth. I'm not.
I really like Robert Pattinson though.
Which one?
Oh, like 17 yes. times. Hilarious. Good.
Yes.
I did enjoy, I'd liked, spoiler alert, Mickey 18. I thought the Mickey 18 was a bit of a cunt and I quite liked him.
I kind of feel like they somehow managed to print Mickey 18 without his trauma. That was the difference.
Going back to a little bit earlier when we were talking about the fact that the Mickeys, sometimes they weren't people, the scientists weren't paying attention or something went weird and they accidentally unplugged something or did something else. I really like that as a quiet metaphor for why they were all slightly different. And because we never see Mickey 18 actually getting printed out, I wonder
what went wrong.
Yeah, what was the thing? Did someone spill something on the machine? Did someone dislodge the
power outage halfway through?
Did someone turn around and knock the brick out of the machine and it just didn't print his fucking empathy and then they shoved it back in and it's like, sure, off we go.
But also it had happened before because Mickey 5 apparently was a real dickhead too. You're like,
Learning that in through the girlfriend. And imagine you know, for people who are in a relationship that might feel a bit stale, it might be all right to have an intimate partner that just keeps getting printed out every now and again and just get a new version. Sometimes you might like them and sometimes you might not.
I quite like the gag where she found two of them and was like, oh, okay, let's tick that box onto the fantasy list.
I really enjoyed how they played that element of the story in the end because it was actually like quite a sweet little love story between her and the Mickeys. And even that little thing was, I guess, saying something that was quite nice about human intimacy and the wholeness of love, I guess, for another person or whatever version of them you get that day. It can all be slightly different versions across slightly different days. But I like that they kind of leaned into that quite heavily for her character and what that meant for the plot. I thought it was quite sweet. The length, I was having a fun time as well. I was like, this is a fun time. It could have been a fun 90-minute time. It didn't need to be a fun 2 hours and 20 minutes, I don't think. And it kind of felt like the plot kept plotting at some point just to kind of like, I don't know, give it kind of like a blockbuster sci-fi feel instead of what it was, which was a satirical, absurd comedy. And it could have said everything that it said just a little bit tighter.
Oh, I just realized what it reminds me of. It reminds me of a Wes Anderson film. You know, you have a weird cast of very quirky characters all doing bizarre and funny things. And, like, the color palettes were interesting for each scene. And it wasn't, like, as auteur as Wes Anderson, but, like, the quirkiness that you find in his films was, like, what I found prevalent in this movie. It was back in my brain. I'm like, what does this remind me of?
Yeah, like it's got not the necessarily the visual aesthetic.
No.
Like it doesn't have that super bright thing, but it has a kind of, a quirkiness and a willful quirkiness. I'm totally with you, Pete, on that whole thing of like there are sections that could have been cut back on, or like there's a dinner sequence where that I was like, fucking earth, this is hanging on a bit. Like, really?
There was also, like, an entire character that seemed like she was going to be a big thing, and then she just completely disappeared for, like, the last half hour of the movie.
That's true.
I thought was really weird.
Yeah.
But that's because they'd introduced the Chekhov's tardigrade. that they did at the same... How do I explain that? Well, yeah, what is it? Space tardigrades. They seem to be... like everywhere and fun, and you know, by the end of it, I like space tardigrades. Just feel like that's a whole movie on itself. Like, we're following Mickey. Why are we now on the space tardigrades? This could have been the Mickey sequel, like, I don't know, Mickey 17 again.
No, I like the space tardigrades. I think that was a key plot element. I don't think the movie would have worked at all without the space tardigrades. But there was like, there probably more happened with the space tardigrades than necessarily needed to.
Things really extended out towards the end with the space tardigrades, and there was an awful lot of running around through large numbers
lots
of tardigrades.
Space tardigrades.
I'm wondering if maybe there was another way we could have escalated the plot that didn't revolve around the creatures, but...
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you got to the Tata tornado, I don't know how to make that a thing. Wait, no, that sounds bad. Tardigrade tornado.
Yeah.
If we had maybe contained it to Mickey's storyline and character development, you know, with his run-in with the loan sharks and stuff.
Yeah.
That were chasing him from the start of the film, and maybe wrapped it up that way. I don't know. Because we left that thread with Steven Yeun's character, and then it didn't really end up going anywhere any kind of resolution for it.
But then we wouldn't have got the whole meat is murder thing, and people need to stop consuming animals that have, you know, emotions in order to turn them into sauces, because...
I know.
We also kind of started a Nazi thread that then we kind of left behind that I thought was going to become the plot.
Yeah. There's no kind of about it. They rocked up wearing Hugo Boss, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think the sauce thing was pushed hard enough as a character trait for Toni Collette.
And it was introduced like that, very late.
Yeah, it was just kind of periphery.
Like it's a very and then funny that, like, line, and I love like the scene concept.
Yeah, it's like, and there's like a scene at the end that's kind of like, oh, why was that there?
Yeah,
I love the concept of, you know, the thing that separates us from the lower animals and stuff is our ability to use condiments. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
I love that.
But I mean, it could have introduced it earlier as they were, because we introduced by that Ruffalo's Trumpish character at the start, going, it's a cult of personality, and she could have been selling sauces.
It didn't feel like it was a hard enough personality trait for her.
Yeah. I got a feeling of a lot of a Christopher Guest-ish kind of ensemble cast idea that was going around. Like, we need these individuals that are good actors, and we want them to create wild characters that are memorable because they've got a hook. But then it was also, but we're following one character. We need to be like, that works when you're following a lot of different explanations and, you know, figuring out how weird it all is. But this one is like, no, this is about Mickey, though. We always have to keep coming back to Mickey. What about Mickey, you know? And it's like, cool. Is he lovable, or is he maybe just printed wrong? You know?
I mean, for me, it's got a little bit of the Argyle to it as well, where it's kind of like starts off fun but then throws too many ideas at it towards the end.
Wow. I mean, I thought it was way better than Argyle.
Way better than Argyle. And I was having much more fun when the extra ideas came in and was kind of willing to stay with it at that point. But it does kind of have that kind of like, you know, it feels like it kind of loses its focus a little bit halfway through the second act and is kind of throwing a lot at it when the material and the performances and the concept were kind of funny enough to kind of actually keep it simpler and cleaner.
I also thought it had a bit of the Lord of the Rings about it too, that it had too many endings.
Oh.
Like, oh.
You know, we kind of got to a point where we'd gotten to the point where we've got a resolution, and then we're kind of explaining where people have ended up, and then there was another thing, and then there was another thing, and I was about to go, I'm about done, guys. Like, I don't think I really need a weird secondary flashback here or whatever. I would have been perfectly fine without that, thanks. But yeah, like.
But we got that anyway.
Yeah, we got it because Tony Collette made it another scene.
Well, yeah.
Cool, but there was about like 2/3 of the way through the movie another flashback, and I can't remember what it was, because like at the start you find out like why Mickey and I've really forgotten Steven Yeun's character's name, why they left Earth in like a flashback kind of perspective, and then you get like all of his like reminiscing about his earlier versions and how they all got to where they were now. But then there was another one after the plot was progressing, another flashback.
And I can't remember. Childhood trauma? There was a childhood trauma just before he gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, why did you put it here? Why didn't you put it with all of the flashback stuff? Because now we've kind of moved on. I don't know why they did another one again.
Which is the trauma? Jarring. Is the trauma from the sound of the chainsaw, double chainsaw? I don't know. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
With a speaker on it for some reason.
The trauma with the mother.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It just kind of came out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, we're getting more backstory like 2/3 of the way through the movie. Like, yeah, that didn't make sense to me.
And yeah, there was a sequence where they kind of caught back up to like the start of the film. The character you're after was Timo.
Thank you.
Like when Mickey's down the crevasse and like you start the film with your cold open, then you go through a bit of an explanation, then you catch back up to it. Yeah. And I thought there, I was like, yep, cool. We don't need to do the whole scene again.
Is it just me or that make it feel like a little bit like a telly movie? Like I felt that like that was a bit of a TV conceit because it's only used once. You're not jumping timelines. If you're going to start jumping timelines in something, you need to keep doing that.
Yeah.
You can't just do it once and then be like, oh, yeah, see, that was funny, wasn't it? We did this little jump thing. It's like, no. No, I want to know the progression because it's funny enough.
Like that 1 week earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I got here.
Yeah. You may be wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
No, I was not. Just tell me how you got there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, should we rate it? Do we have a clip?
Sure, I got a clip. I've got two clips. One is either, what is it, Pennsylvanian Patterson.
Pennsylvanian Patterson.
Pittsburghian.
Yeah, Pennsylvanian, which is Mickey 18, right? And Pittsburghian Mickey. Having a little bit of a tete-a-tete, or I've got Mark Ruffalo eating everything around.
All scenery.
All the scenery.
All the scenery.
I'm good with either.
Look, I'll start. I had a fun time mostly, but it was more like, oh yeah, this is kind of amusing and this is great. Had a couple of interesting ideas which I felt were really good conceits, not explored thoroughly enough to make you stop and think about it. But also I'm just really happy all of those people are now living on that planet millions of miles away from the Earth. Even Mickey in the end, I'm just kind of like, I'm actually happy he's gone. But I am scared about the future society that will literally just, if you have a debt, will track you down across a galaxy just to make you pay. And that was the thing that scared me the most. Anyway, look, 65 for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not as bad as some people have complained about. It's actually quite entertaining.
Right. Okay. I'll go next because fuck it, why not? Because I never do. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's a fun, big visual story with lots of great design work. Like I think the tardigrades are cute, but at the same time appropriately squishy and fun. Like there's a lot of good body horror and stuff kind of all the way through. And the idea is entertaining enough and it explored pretty well. I think Moon did an almost similar sort of thing, but on a very different style of multiple versions of the one person. But yeah, overstays its welcome. Like I really enjoyed it, but would have enjoyed it a hell of a lot more if we trimmed, you know, 20 to 30 minutes out of it. I don't know where from, but I've got a few suggestions. So I'm going to give it 80 because I actually really enjoyed it.
Next. Peter.
Peter,
you go.
Me? Yeah. Okay. I had enough fun. I had enough fun that even when I was kind of like, meh, this is maybe too much of this brand of fun, it didn't make me too mad. Yeah, like I said, I mean, the absurdism, the weirdness, that kind of does it for me. So, like, I'm all good with that shit. I think for me, it's just the kind of, like, trying to do a bit too much with the big blockbusteriness, and in the process of doing that, didn't do quite enough actually with the point that the satire could have been making, in the kind of a more, you know, simple and elegant way with the concept that I had. Such a weird complaint about a movie. I had fun. Fun is good. 78.
Nice.
I had a lot of fun. As soon as I got out, I told my friends to go and watch it because I thought it was just so good. Yeah, there's like a few things that, you know, could be improved, and we all touched on that tonight. What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, but no.
It doesn't matter. I liked it.
It's okay. We'll bring in Jill 42.
Yeah. I need Jill 42.
And she'll have the answer for us.
Yes. And as well as the meaning of life. I'll give it an 85.
Nice.
Wow. I was the lowest?
You were, yeah.
By quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, 65 is pretty low for our standards, Dion.
No, it's not. It's just what I feel at the time.
That's fine.
It's all right. All of our rating systems are fickle and changeable and based on how we feel on the day.
Yeah, all reviews are arbitrary. It doesn't mean anything. You may see something and absolutely love it.
And I mean, like, when I went in, my only experience of Bong Joon-ho was Snowpiercer, so I was like, I really don't like that movie, but the trailer for this looked cool, so I hope it's good. And then, yeah, it spun me on my head. It was great.
And now you've seen Parasite.
I mean, Mickey 17 doesn't by any means, like, blow your knickers off, but it was a lot of fun and just a light, little jaunt.
Sure.
I do love that Bong Joon-ho has some thematic stuff that he's clearly really into. Yeah.
Really? Does he?
I'd like to talk about the class structure.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about eating the rich. I'd like to talk about the rich eating the poor. I'd like to talk about, you know, people in power doing terrible things.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you. Good work. Yeah. Love your work.
Animal rights.
Yes.
Yes. Speaking of that, do we want to have a look at Mark Ruffalo's Terrible Society, or do we want to look at Arpat's, you know, acting against each other, much like Lord of the Rings Gollum Smeagol thing?
Go Arpats.
Go Arpats. All right, we'll go to this one. This is the two Mickeys having a chat. Hey, Mickey, they're so fine.
Are you afraid to die?
Kinda, yeah.
You've died plenty of times. What are you so scared of?
Until now. I died, and
I was just born again, you know? It felt like it was me continuing on. But now, once I die, it'll be over for me. It'll be you living on. You get what I mean?
I don't like you. You're such a little bitch.
But I'm you.
I'm not you. I'm not gonna live like you. I'm gonna kill you.
Don't do that to the Mickey. Don't kill yourself. You know.
Get in the bin, Mickey.
I mean, okay, hang on. Let's let you
hang on. If your Mickey was going in the kiln, would you get in the kiln with him, boys? Get in the kiln, Mickey.
Get in the kiln, Mickey. Sorry, that's an Auntie Donna reference. I put the spoiler logo up. This is fine now. Look, it's an interesting for a film that's full of ideas and things that it's asking you to pay attention to. I feel like it didn't pay attention enough to the more interesting things that it posited, which was, hey, they developed a technology where people could basically 3D print themselves. And the first thing that someone did with that was started committing crimes. That is enough. There is your elevator pitch to the world right now for a very interesting film. We finally got enough technology to start 3D printing ourselves. And the scientist who discovered that or did that first, the first thing they do was became a mass murderer. Like, I'm down for this, you know, just going to commit
crimes.
Not what
I would have done, but...
No.
Yeah. And then in this one, it puts out the thing of like, hey, you know, what if you kill yourself, is it murder or is it not really murder because, you know, it's you? Also, if you have a threesome with yourself, is that just masturbation or is it incest?
Mm. I love that it feels like,
You're not actually related to yourself.
No.
But you are yourself.
From a genetics perspective. Like.
Yeah. And if there's slight variation between, does that make you
You can't procreate with yourself.
No.
I mean
there's no danger.
It's just really, really over the top masturbation. Yeah. Like
anyway.
Extreme masturbation.
These questions are not answered and more. In Mickey 17, it puts them out there and then just doesn't answer them.
I kind of like that, though. I like that it's just like, here's a bunch of ethical and moral quandaries that we're going to let you mull over, but we're not going to give you any answers to.
But it did present them in a way like that's what society had become. Like, instead of trying to fix things, people left. What happens if you follow the cult of personality all the way through to the end goal, which is colonizing other planets and living in that cult and starting a new generation? What does that look like? You know,
it was less instead of trying to fix things, people left. It was that corporate interests were discouraging the fixing of things and encouraging the leaving. Yeah. I'm assuming for commercial gain. Like, there was a particular line in the beginning that kind of made it clear that there was a particular kind of movement of don't fucking fix it, pay us to put you on another planet.
Yeah.
So it's, again, like the power of capitalism, I think, is a driving force there.
Yeah. And feeding ego. I mean, like the ego at the top of capitalism was a great thing in the movie, which was, yeah, it's a Trump. It's like, what would Trump do? Trump wouldn't fix it. Trump would just decide to get idiots together to pay him to take them to another planet where he ruled like a god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ta-da.
And I do love the idea that this is, you know, the 3D printing humans is completely illegal, except out in space. Yeah. It's like everything's legal in New Jersey.
Well, I mean, it's also the fact that he made the exemption for that by going, it could be used for purposes of research. We should explore that, but just not here. We'll do it in space where it doesn't affect anyone here. I mean, that was really interesting too.
Yes, international waters, precisely.
International, interplanetary.
Intergalactical.
Yes. Yeah. Intergalactical.
Did you enjoy the Trump-esque suggestive almost Nazi salute moment that was incredibly.
There's a lot of
Elon
one
Musk.
Finger and then a couple of apps. Other fingers, and then there are other fingers coming in, and you're like, oh,
how many do we go? No, I'm just saying hi.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like when they made this, what I'm assuming
they would have shot it, that a year ago at least. I mean, there's a lot of effects.
It's actually pushed back quite a long way too. Yeah. Like it was meant to release a year and a bit ago.
It's It was done in 2022. But yeah, Trump was already announced as running. There was no other.
But it's more the echo of the recent Elon Musk moment that it's
exactly. Yeah, like it's a pretty impressive swing to you know, is it an impressive swing? No, maybe not. To imagine that people might start fucking sig hailing again, but here we are. So yeah. I enjoy the fact that it's about ideas, and I love my sci-fi when it's about ideas, you know, and asking really weird questions like, okay, if you can't die, what are the moral implications of you being lied to about your death? You know, or if you can die over and over and over again, is it morally wrong to use you to create a pathogen or
Jesus, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was in the terms and conditions. You got to read your new Apple
the fine print
iOS when you sign up.
I mean, if it was a saving grace that I really enjoyed about the film, itch, like for a while there, I wasn't believing Mickey and what was the name?
Nasha's,
you know, relationship for a long while there, until it got more explained how caring she was about him and how a lot of the things, because she was seeing her partner die over and over and over again, and that was just his job. But the tenderness and the ability to be with that person as they die all the time, like that would have been massively traumatic for her when you think about it. And that was when you started to get, like, I thought ideas were really good. Like these were good reasonings and justifications, and I could understand stuff when it wasn't presented that way earlier, and they held it off a little bit too long. I was just like, oh, well, that's good. Like,
yeah,
like
it came in a little late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that was one of my favorite kind of things about it in the end.
Like,
and what happened to what's her name? The other woman who was at the dinner.
Kai, who was sometimes, was obviously intended to be a bisexual lady who was attracted to both Mickey or whatever, but I don't know. She seemed to extricate herself from the plot at one point.
I was going to say, why did she entirely disappear from the plot at one point? Anyway, spoilers, but these aren't like actual plot spoilers. These are questions that you will ask yourself while watching the film.
She returned at the end, though, in a healthy relationship with someone else.
But what was the point of her?
I don't know. What was the point of anyone? Like, you know, they were punishing this guy with not giving him food for ages when he did something wrong, which is another kind of thing there about class structure and society, because everyone had to eat terrible, shitty meals for the whole time, except for the people in charge who just kept eating like regular folks.
Sauce. And
then, you know, denying food to people as a weapon. Yeah.
It says things.
Yeah, it's got a lot to say.
It does say things. I also felt like there was a point where the end, where they're rolling out on these big tank things and with the intent of having some big standoff with the Queen Tardigrade, as it were.
And it's all just optics.
Sorry?
I love that it was all just optics. Like, they didn't have a plan. They didn't know what they were doing, but it would look good. Like, all they wanted to do was make something that looked good. Just make this guy look good.
Mm. And, yeah, it ended up being oddly anticlimactic. I was like, you never actually got anywhere near it. You didn't get your video, and now you've been blown up. Cool. I mean, felt appropriate for how I want that guy to go, but, you know.
And then they fridged the female character, Toni Collette. And then the return to the female character in a flashback. Or was it a flashback? I don't know. Criminally underused. See, this is why I got down to 65. But I still, like, you know, had great movement of the 3D printing of him. And the way he fell out of that thing a couple of times, I thought, man, Robert Pattinson must have had a lot of massage and yoga and been very relaxed. It must have been a soft floor in the set those days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did anyone else like the scientist characters?
Yes, I liked Dorothy.
Yeah, I like Dorothy. I also liked the other scientist characters because they were, like, they also didn't have empathy enough. And that was funny too because they were just about the science.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They're just about, like, we just need to, you, like, especially when he's outside, remember the first time, and they're like, we just need you to take your helmet off. And he's like, what?
Deep breaths.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you're dead anyway. The radiation's already killed you. Just explain that to us so that we can get as much data as we can before we print you out. It's like, oh God.
Yeah.
That's why. But that is what a corporation would do that had no morals.
What I do wonder is, like, the whole concept that he has been, he gets reprinted each time, and his memories get re-uploaded, but from what point, like, is he being, like, because he can, I assume he can remember his
deaths. So I'm assuming there's some kind of, like, instant linkage, instant link back to the.
No, yeah. They. I think they explained it somewhere along that line, which is.
There was a point where he was explaining how he remembered his deaths.
It gets
because I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it gets backed up each day, but whether or not it also depends on when he, like, how long is it from his death that he gets backed up and stuff.
Yeah. So it was when Timo asked him that he's like, do you remember dying every time? And then that was when,
I mean, I was just assuming some kind of cloud situation.
Right. I mean, but they explained all that in Altered Carbon, which is on Netflix. You can go and watch. You know, if you want to know how that is, that's another one that talks about very, very rich people who get to live forever.
That's right.
Yeah. It's actually a good series.
Well, the first season is, second season.
Yeah, I didn't get through Anthony Mackie's season.
You'd leave Anthony Mackie alone. He's a really good dude. He just seems to be in terrible properties.
This is underutilized. No, you know what he's great in? That metal one.
Oh, Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal. I'm like, I love that stupid show.
I saw a trailer for season two for that the other day, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
They got a second season. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a second season, and what's more, they're going more into the game stuff, that it's more about, like, a big carnage driving into, like, what do you call it? Like a
roller derby?
Gladiatorial arena, except with cars.
Monster trucks.
Yeah.
Demolition derby.
Demolition derby. But, like, so essentially finally getting to what the game was, which is
cool.
Yeah.
Thank God a video game property has some accurate, great stuff. We are looking forward to Witcher Season 4. Sorry. That's got nothing to do with Mickey 17. You were just saying things about sequels and numbers, and I got distracted by myself.
Sorry, I did go off on a tangent because we were talking about Twisted Metal, but I feel like we
finished talking about Mickey.
I was going to say, I feel like perhaps we have covered everything there is to cover.
We've covered all that.
Yeah, go watch it if you haven't seen it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat it with popcorn. Like, it's great. Good times.
Yeah.
What are we doing next week?
What are we?
Oh, that's right. Together with the Electric State.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay, guys.
I just like Jill's face.
Bit of energy. Like, come on. Feel the room.
Chris
the
Pratt movie. Yay.
No.
What am I supposed to watch?
This is the Millie Bobby Brown movie. It's Millie Bobby Brown. So MBB.
Ignore the other guy.
Yeah. Don't worry about CP. So we're focused on MPB.
Probably looking like being the most expensive film that Netflix has made.
Even more than that Will Smith one that cost them $1 billion?
What was that one?
The first one, Bright.
Was it that wasn't $1 billion?
It was something stupid like that.
It was very fucking high. But I think this is one of those ones that everyone's like, Netflix, are you okay? You appear to be spending a fuck ton of money.
But it's Anthony Russo and Joe Russo, the Russo brothers.
Are the Russo brothers?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give it a chance.
Bright only had a budget of about somewhere between 90 and 100 million, 105 million.
Yeah.
So not actually that high for a big budget movie, but at the time for a streamer, it was a stupid amount of money.
I also wanted you to know that this one, The Electric State, that we'll be reviewing next week, had a budget of $320 million and also has Anthony Mackie in it.
Mackie was in it?
Yeah, I know. I was just reading through the cast quickly and it's like, wait, Stanley Tucci, Giancarlo Esposito, Brian Cox, Anthony Mackie, Woody Harrelson? Like, what? And then I remember that most of it's animated and they're probably all robot voices. Or it's just like, right.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's going to be an if situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the voices that are in there are Woody Harrelson, Anthony Mackie, Brian Cox, Jenny Slate, Alan Tudyk, Hank Azaria, Coleman Domingo, and then other people I don't actually know.
Okay.
This is the first I'm hearing of this movie, and I definitely have been reading our chats properly. Check it out.
Don't worry, it's on Netflix from this Friday.
Yeah, they've only just really started advertising it on billboards and stuff this last week, so
yeah,
don't be too worried about not being up on it. I was like,
don't worry, Predakanga. Yeah. Alan Tudyk, yes, we all love Alan Tudyk, and I'm just hanging out for April because guess who comes back in April? K2SO. That's right, Alan Tudyk droid is in season two of Andor.
I find your Alan Tudyk strange.
I hope we get a K2SO origin story in one of the episodes. That would be great.
Yeah. I'm hoping he gets a full three series arc.
Three series. You know there is no more series, Quiddy.
Three episodes is what I meant.
Spin off. His own
K2SO spin off.
Fuck yeah, I'm there.
Spinning everything off.
I mean, this is what I love. Like, you know, some people are unhappy about the fact that they can't watch Rogue One because everyone dies. And I'm like, that's the beauty of this thing. It's bottled. It's great. It's a start and a finish. And you have to love it for the moment that it's there and then let it go. Much like Mickey 17. You love him for the moment he's there and then he's probably going to die. So you got to let him go.
Just a little thing on The Electric State. A while ago, we did a review of a series called In the Loop, which was on Amazon Prime, and it was a weird anthology series.
Yes, yes.
So the designs that was based on are all done by a guy called Simon Stallenberg.
Yes.
The Electric State is based on his design work.
Oh.
Like, it's all about these giant robots and this kind of semi-apocalyptic American grassland kind of thing with all these rusting old robot hulks and stuff.
Okay, well, maybe I can be a little bit more on board about this movie.
That's what the trailers kind of look, okay, whatever. But
I thought it
the
was
designs,
a bit like, what was that IP catch-all Steven Spielberg movie?
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
Yes, that's what the vibes I was getting.
IP catch-all Steven Spielberg movie for adaptation of the book.
Perfect.
No.
But don't worry.
I think Jill really nailed it on that one.
I think my explanation was accurate.
100%. It's like, you're like one of those super fishing tankers that just drag nets 400 kilometers of ocean and just pulls it all out and goes, you want this, right? And you're like, no, it's too much. What am I going to do with all this? Most of it's shit. It's like, Don't worry, Ready Player 2 is coming.
Oh, no.
I think so. I think it's still in development, but they're...
What?
Yeah, I know, the right?
The book was, by all accounts, fucking terrible. Like,
the Ready Player 2 book or Ready Player 1?
Yeah, Ready Player 2 was like... Everybody was like, oh, Ready Player 1 has a certain kind of nostalgic thing appealed to a certain... a particular group of unfuckable chuds and me.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but continue.
I didn't hate it either. I didn't hate it as I read it. I hated it when I listened to Will Wheaton narrate it. And then when you listen to somebody say it out loud, you're like, this guy is an insufferable fuckwit who just spends the entire book telling you how good he is at everything.
Spielberg will not direct the sequel, but he will produce it. So obviously it's sitting in the development hell of like, we have the rights to this. Who wants to come along and make this thing before the rights run out?
Right.
But Steven Spielberg's like, nah, I don't want to direct that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But yeah, the sequel book, everybody, even the unfuckables have said, not fun, not a good follow-up, not enjoyable.
Well, you know, speaking of book sequels to films, like, you know, like Willow, what's the second one? The Laura Dannon book?
Oh, there was a sequel?
Yes.
To Willow? What?
Yes.
That they didn't adapt into the hugely successful TV series?
No, and then there was one about the Princess Bride.
Yes.
Where Buttercup grows up. Yeah.
Oh no, that sounds terrible.
Although the funny one, did anyone like see Star Wars and then go out and read Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was the the book that was the sequel written at the time before he'd even written Empire Strikes Back and was turning into a trilogy. So like, there's some weird shit that goes on, and Luke and Leia do hook up. Anyway, it's canon. It really exists. It's called Splinter of the Mind's Eye. You can read it if you like masochism.
The sequel to The Princess Bride is called Buttercup's Baby.
That's it, Buttercup's
Ew.
Baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there is another book. Yeah. There's a sequel to Willow in book form, I believe, written by Chris Claremont.
Really?
I think so. Oh. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm doing this off memory. And I never said that to Chris Claremont's face because I wasn't going to challenge it when I met him once. It's like... Am I right, Quinny? Have you looked it up?
A trilogy of sequel fantasy novels was published for Willow.
Exactly.
The Chronicles of the Shadow War.
Was it by Chris Claremont? Thank you very much.
Wow.
I mean, I hope they were better than that TV series.
I don't think so. Because if they were any good, I think that they would have been mined for content for that TV show, which...
Pete, you'll be excited. Are we getting more Wheel of Time sometime soon? You've gone quiet.
I thought they did a good job on that second season, although, like, it's Amazon, and I'm having some issues with support there.
Everyone getting around Reacher season two?
Oh, I'm giving it a good old reach around.
Is it season two or season three? I can't remember. Three, I think, isn't it?
Three, yeah.
Three, sorry. Apologies for
three.
That.
Three, yeah, I've got five episodes out. They're dropping on Thursdays now.
Yep, yeah, I watched.
I really enjoyed the book that it's based on, so I'm enjoying seeing it in TV form.
Yeah, I'm not enjoying the ads that are coming up now, and I'm like, oh, that's right.
At least they're kind of placing them in, like,
yeah, but they're not. Like, one of the things is there's absolutely zero tonal recommendation for the ad. Like, it is just out of left field. It's just kind of like, hey, toilet duck, let's talk about that for 43 seconds. And you're like...
Well, when I was watching the Batman episodes, an ad would pop up in the middle of somebody talking.
Oh, yeah. That was fucked.
That was really, really bad. At least the ads now are kind of being placed after somebody says something.
Well, the thing that pisses me off about it is that most TV is still being made with the intent of maybe one day airing on ad... on a TV channel, where they leave the fucking ad breaks in. They actually put like beats in the episodes to leave space for ads. If you've got them, why would you not fucking use them?
Also, can I just like be part of that crowd that wants to call bullshit on Reacher having like a 10 episode season? Fucking come on. You know, where's the golden age of television where they're cranking out 26 episodes of these? Every September you would start and you would just get 26 episodes that would fall through. And then people are like, oh, well, yeah, anyway, I did Reacher for like fucking 9 seasons. I did 473 episodes.
I wouldn't complain about having to stare at Alan Ritchin for 26 episodes.
Sure.
Yeah. I agree with you, Dion.
As long as he takes his shirt off for about 13 of them.
Well, you know what? That's... I think the ratios are on your side there, Jill. Like, Reacher just seems to turn up and it's like, hey, this guy's physically impressive. Let's get him naked as possible all the time.
Yeah. Well, there was, I think it was episode 3. He's walking down the street in his underwear. So.
Yeah. And I love that every single female character in Reacher that sees him, like, could be in mid sentence, just sees him and then just goes, the brain.
I saw
gone.
A great reel the other day that was like, here's the story about Reacher. Reacher can solve everything by how large he is. Like, no problem is too small for Reacher because he can solve it with his largeness.
Yeah. I agree.
Except in this book, there's a guy that's bigger than him.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but also way fucking dumber.
So I think Alan Ritchson is like 6'6 or something. And this guy that is in the this series is like 7'4 or something ridiculous like that.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But I want to climb him like a mountain.
Yeah. So it's like, how does a large man defeat a larger man?
I mean, I feel like these things can get a little bit lost until you start putting them back into perspective. Like, I mean, come on, just put them next to the female lead who's like 5'4". And then you'll get the idea of just how massive that is.
Or put them next to somebody who everybody else thinks is a big, tall dude. Like, I always remember seeing a picture of, like, I think it was Pedro Pascal or somebody like that standing next to the mountain and the hound. Yeah. And it was like, oh, fuck me, those things are actually giants.
those things? Ah.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, what did we think of the first two episodes of Daredevil?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, no.
There's like about 5 different TV series that are out right now that are dropping weekly. And I'm like trying to devote my time to a couple of them. And maybe I'll just binge Daredevil at a later date.
Next, like, if Electric State, we might do Electric State, maybe a bit of Daredevil. Give you a few.
Oh,
shit.
A little...
Did you not just hear Jill say she wants to put it off? We can wait. We can wait till April to talk about Daredevil.
Yeah. My quick one on the two episodes, though, is not my Daredevil.
Oh, really?
But it's still the same girl.
You know, I get that, but still.
Oh.
Although to be fair, I still only believe in Colin Farrell's Bullseye. So, like, that's it. He's the only Bullseye for me.
Well, I'm in the opposite. I'm thoroughly on board with it. And honestly, after about an episode and a half, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just watching the next Netflix show again.
Nice.
Yeah. Without all the shit stuff with the hand and the defenders and stuff like that.
Oh, fuck, please bring back fucking Iron Fist.
No.
Just let him turn up.
2 seasons too many of him.
I mean, that would be pretty great, though, just at one point all of the defenders turn up in one of these episodes and I would just be like, just having dinner or something. Having a shawarma.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't have shawarma. They have to be separate from the Avengers. So what would they have? What fast food would they have?
I don't know. Philly cheesesteak. I would actually love for them to bring back Iron Fist. I just don't want it to be Finn Jones. I'd like it to have been Colleen Wing who took it over.
Yeah.
At the end of season 2, she was the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Well. So.
All right.
Oh, well, she did.
Sorry, we have to wrap it up there. Peter's lost as fuck. She...
I'm gone. I'm gone. I mean, I'm technically I'm still at work, so I'm just doing that now.
This is the face of somebody who is working on an Emmy production as we speak. She's
well,
like,
well, well, hopefully, so. Like, hopefully.
Let's do that. I say, not putting any pressure on Peter at all.
If there's anyone who needs a 3D printer of themselves, it would be Peter. So if you do have that technology, just give it to Peter.
Yes.
You need that technology. I promise I won't use it for evil.
I just now I'm imagining
going Peter going. What happens if the printer gets stuck?
You run out of ink halfway through. Starts just like printing one color. You end up with like just veins for the rest of the body. Anyway.
What happens if the rolling mechanism gets stuck and it just keeps printing you that you just get this just war? Just all then you end up like
little midget legs when you come out.
That's where you get the substance.
Oh,
damn,
man.
The feeder didn't
We were
work.
Talking about that so much last week. I rewatched that on the weekend too.
Nice.
Nice.
fucking slaps, that movie.
It does fucking slap.
I'm off to go watch some more Yellow Jackets because that's my thing at the moment.
It's another one I haven't started. Fuck.
It's on Netflix now.
Like, well, no, the first season.
The old seasons.
Yeah, the old seasons.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go and watch some Last Week Tonight to make myself cry about the future of the world.
Yep.
All right. Good luck with that. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you
next week.
Next week. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
For listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.